Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared podcast. This is your host, Curtis, here with my co-host, Aaliyah. And here today we have our special guest, Blaine Smith, who is a comedian. He's also a Banger TV host, and he's also a metal Twitch streamer. And he is here to talk to us for the next 40 minutes or so about his career and everything that he does, and give us some tips on things, hopefully. So first of all, Blaine, just want to say thank you very much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So the very first thing we always do is we always ask for the guests to give a little nutshell version of who they are and what they've done.
Very quick nutshell is I am a person that just really, at the end of the day, I really like to laugh. And that's kind of all I ever want to do. I don't take anything too seriously, and I like to have fun with everything. So I've kind of always tried to figure out a way to do that for my life. And so that kind of resulted in me being a comedian, and it resulted in me being a Twitch streamer and a YouTube host, all through the lens of let's just make this fun and silly and not take anything too seriously.
Awesome. So I'm going to let the first question go to.
So Blaine, you're on the mic. Would you like to say something dumb?
I will say something dumb the whole time. It'll be a nice stream of dumb stuff. I got a nice little Bush Light here, which everybody likes to think is just dumb in and of itself, just drinking Bush Light and saying dumb things with you guys.
Perfect. Could you talk a little bit about the crossover between comedy and metal? It seems kind of natural, but also not so common.
Yeah, it's weird because there's a lot of metal that's very funny, and like meeting, working with a lot of metal musicians, like there is definitely a very large chunk of them that also are kind of in the vibe of when they're not playing, they just want to laugh. And, you know, a lot of times it's the guys that you wouldn't expect, the folks that are playing the sad or the angry music, and then they get off stage and they're, you know, just pulling pranks on everybody backstage. And so, yeah, there is this really great crossover, and, you know, a lot of metal is tongue in cheek. And then there's also this fun where there is also a band of people within metal that very much do not like that. They do not want anyone having fun nor making jokes. And they're, you know, as all comedians have a bit of a shit disturber living inside of them. And so getting that kind of rise is also fun when, you know, you make a joke about a band and people are like, how could you say that? That band's a legend. And it's like, yeah, I'm saying that because they're a legend. And me making a joke about them isn't going to take food out of their kids' mouths or something.
For sure. I actually feel like, I don't know, maybe it's the era I grew up in with metal, but it seems like it's almost an unforgivable sin to take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, you're not likable. It doesn't really,
right.
You know, it's unless you kind of just wind up coming off like Lars or something. If you're not down to joke, you're like, look, you're acting like you're in Metallica and you're not in Metallica. So I don't know why you're doing that.
Well, I want to be the asshole here and be like, okay, so how do you respond to the guys that do want to be super serious? Because there is seriousness in metal, and there is a spot for it.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Those guys, I'm always just like, that's cool, man. Like, go somewhere where they want to do that. there's places where that's what everybody does. It's you came into my room. you came into my bedroom and you're like, hey, why are you doing this? Like, I'm in my bedroom. I can do whatever I want here.
Well, how do you kind of deal with it? Because I mean, like a lot of your reviews, at least the ones I've seen, like, I mean, you do review some serious stuff sometimes. So like, have you ever had a band kind of get mad at you for, you know, incorporating humor when you're talking about them?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Yeah. Some bands are like really, there was a band, and I'm not going to say the band, cause it's like, I'm not trying to like burn anyone or anything, but yeah. I gave a band a positive review. Like it was like a 4 out of 5. It was like, damn, this is really cool. But I had some critiques, cause that's, you know, you didn't make a perfect album. You made a 4 out of 5 album. You should be very proud. And, you know, I made some jokes about what I thought was wrong about the album. And apparently the band was like not pleased with my review. And I'm like, you're a small band. And I gave you a very glowing review. And you're like, yeah, but you made jokes about things that we take really seriously. And you're like, all right, bro. I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, it's weird and awkward, and I don't get it. I mean, we've interviewed people, and almost everyone we interview is like fun and silly. It's a fun, silly interview. And then every once in a while, yeah, you'll interview someone and you'll like try some jokes and it doesn't work. And then you're just flop sweating for like a 40 minute interview. You're like, well, this is a living nightmare.
What do you do when that happens, though? You just keep rolling and you just hope for the best, or what?
Yeah, I mean, in my the track I just have going in my head in that experience is just, this is going to be really funny later. This is bad now, but I'm going to love that this happened in like a week.
Fair. Now, before Leah gets to her next question, I do want to ask you, are there any other people that do metal and comedy that you feel are kind of, that you want to recommend, I guess?
There's a guy I've gotten a chance to work with that's like, fairly famous is Brian Posehn. I mean, that's a metal fan who is, you know, metal fan, big nerd about metal, and, you know, great comedian, very nice fellow. I actually had a really interesting experience working with him, because we were doing a couple of shows together, and they were in two different venues across the city. And so we did the first show, and we were in a cab over to the second show, and I tried to talk with him, and he just wouldn't talk in the cab. And I was like, oh no, is Brian Posehn a jerk? And then we did the second show, and then the instant the second show was done, he was like, wanted to hang out and pal around and chat. And I was like, oh my God, comedians are all insane, neurotic people. I'm like, damn, you're Brian Posehn, and still before a set, you're like, oh, I'm in my head. I can't have a conversation right now. I'm like either nervous or thinking about what I'm going to talk about or whatever he was doing. And it's like, you know, no matter what level you get to, it's like still there. And it was like a really funny experience where I was like, oh no, does Brian Posehn suck? And I was like, oh no, Brian Posehn's awesome. Never mind. And this is a cool human quirk I found out about him on top of having fun with him. Yeah, so he's great. Just a real gem. And if there's a Canadian guy who's like, you know, if you like a certain type of metal, if you're into gore grind or porno grind, or you really love Cannibal Corpse lyrics, there's a guy, Jason Rouse, in Canada, and he's like Cannibal Corpse as a comedian. It's just all like fisting nuns, and he's making the sounds, and he's just like totally out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you're mentioning, it sounds like you feel like it's beneficial for bands to maybe not take themselves too seriously, have a public sense of humor about themselves. For people that aren't good at that, do you have any like advice on how they can improve their sense of humor?
I mean, a lot of the times, like you can, what I think people don't realize about a sense of humor is a lot of times, like, even not having a sense of humor can be like the quirk, you know, a lot of the times it's just whatever makes you kind of human. If you're not funny, like that can be funny, like you just perpetually being not funny, but letting people know you're cognizant of that and you're aware that you're like, you're just not funny. It's because that's the thing that people like about humor and comedy, right? Is like, again, unless it's like this like giant like one of a kind artist. You don't want someone that's like a weird, difficult person to talk to. You don't, you want someone that you feel a personal connection to, and humor is just a really great way to like kind of break down a barrier and make someone feel like they had a human connection with you. You know, if something funny happens with a band, you're going to be telling that story for like maybe the rest of your life. Just like, oh man, one time I met this band, this totally goofy thing happened, you know? And that's, you know, it makes, it endears you to people. It gives people that personal connection that makes you like go from maybe a band someone listens to like their favorite band or their back patch band or the band that they're always telling everybody to listen to.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely seen that happen. And I feel like I've had that happen with bands that I like. They have a sense of humor. It's just so much easier to connect with them.
Yeah.
Why do you think there should be nothing sacred in metal, or nothing untouchable?
Because I mean, it feels like that's the whole purpose of metal. Like the whole, almost every type of metal, it's like the with thrash is criticizing massive politicians, black metal is super anti all organized religion, death metal's coming in and being super in your face, like, oh, you know, anti-censorship. And then you like, you know, maybe do a review where you make some jokes about Morbid Angel and people are like, you can't do that. And you're like, what the hell? Why not? You know, it really feels like deifying people and bands, deifying anything doesn't really do it any benefits. And, you know, kind of just because someone's giant and done a bunch of amazing things doesn't mean they're next. If no one criticizes them in their life, they're probably going to crap out a shitty record next, and everybody's gonna say it's great, and then we're just gonna get a string of shitty records from a band we used to like.
Basic. I have a question on this. So if you're willing to say, which band has the worst fans for getting upset when they get criticized?
Cannibal Corpse. I make jokes really? About Cannibal Corpse fans all the time. I use Cannibal Corpse fan as a slang term because, yeah, despite the fact that, you know, Corpse Grinder is like a very silly man, the band, their whole thing is like, everyone's always like the defense of like the lyrics and stuff is like, oh, they're not serious, it's satire. And then, yeah, Cannibal Corpse fans get so touchy about Cannibal Corpse, and you're like, Cannibal Corpse isn't this touchy about Cannibal Corpse, what the hell are you doing?
Fair. No, that's okay. I was just kind of surprised. I would have thought they'd be like 6 feet under or something like that. But
there are 6 feet under fans.
Maybe
there used to be 6 feet under fans, but
okay, Leah gets to put this back on track. This is gonna just go off the rails.
Okay. Well, you know, off the rails is a fine place to be. But let's. Can you pitch us a little bit about the Heavy Metal Hitchhiker? What went into that?
Yeah, that was a really fun thing to do. You know, we were just kind of like, hey, you know, we haven't done anything scripted. Why don't we try doing something scripted? And we bounced around a bunch of ideas. I mean, one of the ones I really wish that we got a chance to make was, I was like, what if metalheads, like a couple metalheads' family died and they inherited a funeral home and they decided to make it a metal funeral home, and all we had was metal funerals all the time. Every episode was a metal funeral. And then we're like, that sounds sick. And then we tried to figure out, like, that would probably be really expensive. What's something affordable we can do? And it just came about because I have some silly stories from hitchhiking. Because, you know, just being a guy who just wants to experience all the various things that life has to offer, I've hitchhiked a bit in my life, and it's, you know, it's a thing where you're gonna meet some characters. And so a little bit's pulled from experience, and you know, we were like, oh, why would a guy be hitchhiking? And then we came up with this concept, and we were like, oh, who should play it? And then my friend Garrett Jameson, he's a Canadian comedian, another metalhead comedian. He actually toured with Ken Mode and Weed Eater doing like comedy. He was the opening act, and he's wacky and hilarious. And it was like, oh, he looks like a roadie, he sounds like a roadie, he acts like a roadie. We don't need to change anything about Garrett. Garrett will fit into this role perfectly. And it was just, yeah, kind of all really organic the way everything happened.
Yeah, it's I've watched the clips. I haven't watched the whole series yet, but it's the clips I've seen are hilarious. So definitely recommend people check it out. Are we going to get any more of it, or is it kind of just one?
We're hoping. It's one of those things where, you know, it's, you know, you just got to find money places. You got to hunt around for money to make bigger things all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, we're rooting around like a pig looking for truffles in the forest right now, trying to find some money to do some more.
What's your craziest story from your real life hitchhiking days?
I believe I got picked up by a Russian criminal running something between Montreal and Toronto, because he picked us up and was like a little talkative, but like pretty, you know, just like, you know, if you get picked up hitchhiking, the main reason someone picks you up is they're alone and they're just bored out of their skull and they want to like chat. So your job is kind of like a hitchhikey is to like just talk at the person to keep them entertained. That's how you're paying for your ride. And so this guy, you know, we're chatting a bit and then we're like, oh, what are you doing? You know, he's like, oh, just going from here to here. And we're like, why? And he's like, oh, I'm just doing some business. And we're like, oh, what business? And he's like, I work for my uncle. And we're like, what do you do? And he's like, don't ask me any more questions along this line. And we're like, in like a thick Russian accent. And it's just like, oh, the conversation turned. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff like that. There was another time me and a friend got picked up by a mother and a daughter, and the daughter was like in her like 20s, and very quickly we found out the reason the mother was picking up the daughter is because the daughter was a stripper who, like, you know, toured. Strippers tour is a thing a lot of people don't know about strippers. They tour. Oh. They're like, they go to places and, you know, you're the new, new act in town for a weekend and, you know, you make some money and then you go somewhere else. And just like bands and comedians touring, she had a rough weekend. The gig was not what she thought it was. And so her mom had to come pick her up, which is like, such a different but relatable story for a comedian for sure. Sitting in the car. And just like unpacking that dynamic with them was very interesting in the car.
Yeah, you probably meet all kinds of interesting people.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, anything from that to just a guy picks you up and he's got a bottle and you realize he's like got dip packed and he's just like fucking just spitting into this bottle and you look, the bottle is just like half full of brown liquid and you're like, oh my God. It's like seeing a ghost in the car. And you're like, oh God.
Curtis?
So I want to change the subject slightly, if you're okay with that, Aaliyah.
All right.
The word money came up. So why don't we talk about monetization and Twitch and stuff like that? Can you kind of, like, I assume you're doing okay with the monetizing of the Twitch and stuff?
Twitch is actually like one of the last great bastions of a pretty direct route to making money on there. You don't have to do anything super fancy. You don't really have to do anything special. You're just, I mean, the Twitch, the easiest way to describe it to people is you're a cam girl. Like you're a cam girl for people, and you're, you know, whatever service you figure out you're offering for them. If people like the service, they'll just throw money at you. There's a thing where people like throwing money at things they like. I mean, it's, you know, there's a reason a strip club is not like, you know, you're fucking tossing bills. It's fun to throw money. It's fun to toss money. And, you know, Twitch has really found a way to make it so you're tossing money. And the more you make it like someone's tossing money, it's giving them some kind of thing like that. People like doing it. It's fun. Everybody has a good time. And, you know, it's a really simple, easy thing. People, it can be hard for them to get over where they're like, wait, but they don't have to pay you. So why do they? And you're like, 'cause it's fun. It like is just fun for everybody involved. I mean, you know, it's rare that you get to do something that immediately like You know, if someone's having a bad day, you know, oh man, you know, I'm a stream, I'm trying to cheer myself up. Someone tosses 20 bucks at you. It's hard to have a bad day anymore. And, you know, people see that change on you. And then it's like, it's just fun. It's not like you don't have to, it's not, you're not making money on Twitter. Well, I mean, you can make a little bit, but it's not like someone has to sit there and watch a pre-roll ad so you can make, you know, .2 of a cent, you know. It's just someone can just go, yeah, good job, you know, funny joke, boom, here's a couple bucks. And you know, it's getting back to that thing we're talking about, right, where it's a direct interaction with you, and it helps you kind of bond with your audience. It makes them feel like they're a part of your life, and you know, they enjoy that, you enjoy that. It's a really nice thing.
Cool, that's all I had on the Twitch.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, it's a really fun platform. It's very foreign to a lot of people. It's it can be hard to get people in, but usually what it takes is you know, them just finding someone that they connect with, and then that kind of brings them into the platform, and then they start kind of exploring from there. And that's kind of the cool thing, where it's like, it a lot of the times, you know, platforms kind of compete. They're in competition with each other. In especially for your like monetization, you're like, oh, how do I, what avenue should I be pursuing? But other avenues really feed directly into Twitch. You know, a lot of the ways that people start finding a Twitch streamer is they're watching YouTube, and YouTube clips are coming up of someone, you know, doing something funny on stream or something cool or whatever, you know, whether you're watching people play video games, guitar or whatever, you know, a clip will come up on YouTube of something you like, and you go, oh, and then you'll kind of start watching a Twitch streamer, but they're on YouTube. You're just watching clips of them. And then one day you're like, oh, why don't I go over there and see what that's like? And it's, you know, it has a little bit of that live show element, where it goes from like watching a concert DVD to being at a concert is like a really different experience. And it's kind of, you know, it's not as significant of a difference, but it's still that difference. And it still gives that person that sensation. And that's why it's been especially great over quarantine, because, you know, a lot of, you know, comedians, musicians are on Twitch now doing the same thing for people. And it's filling a void that people like really need to kind of, you know, feel good and happy and stay sane and stay motivated to continue living their life through all this bullshit.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, I think that's all I had on.
It really is a community at over there. Like, I just started following a bunch of musicians that are on Twitch and watching their streams, and it's a lot of fun, and you see a lot of the same users across different users or different streamers as well. So it's like, it's cool how it's built up a community, and it's international, you know, there's no boundaries. Like, a lot of times you connect with people at shows, but this is no boundaries, man. It's international insanity.
Yeah, it's always fun when someone like comes into your stream and like they type something and you're like, ooh, it's close, but it's not quite right. Hey, where are you joining from? You know what I mean? Your English is a 9 out of 10. Where are you joining in from? Oh, you're checking in from Mexico? That's awesome, man. I hope things are great in Mexico. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming out. You know, it really does. It's cool to like have people like, you know, it from different countries being able to all kind of, yeah, intermingle at the same time. And, you know, as someone who's, you know, I live in Toronto, and it's like this, you know, one of the most multicultural cities of the world, giant melting pot. And, you know, getting that same kind of thing on Twitch, where you get all kinds of different people, and you start like seeing nuances and things and picking up on things. And it's just this great, you know, yeah, you know, it's really, I mean, you know, it can, all social media and all this stuff can really be what it can be, something very positive or something very negative and toxic. But, you know, I'm a very like, just, you know, like I said, just want to laugh and have a fun time. And it's really just nothing but a nice, like, little, the amount of times I've had a bad day and been like, oh, I don't want to fucking stream. Oh shit, I got to keep my schedule. I got to go. And then I start streaming, and within 20 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, my day is awesome. Yeah. I'm having the best time. This is sick. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
So, just to kind of, okay, get back to, like, let's get back to what I was talking about a few minutes ago. Like, we were talking about the monetization and stuff like that. Because I just realized I didn't quite pin down with you, like, how easy is it to like crack like a couple hundred bucks during a stream? Like, I mean, usually you're doing like, you know, one to three hours per, when most Twitch streamers do like 5 hours. Like, how hard is it actually to like get a decent income doing that?
It definitely, like, it definitely takes something. Like, it's not like, you know, you're just going to show up and, you know, there's like this massive pool of people. You really have to, you know, you have to bring people in, and it is a skill, and there's muscles that you don't know that you have to work to do it. But it is a thing where it's like very much one of the most honest and like content is king kind of platforms. And if you're making something unique and special, like, it seems difficult to me that you, if you put the right kind of effort and steps into it, you wouldn't be able to make, you know, a decent chunk of money doing it. I do it, you know, as a side thing to everything else I do. And, you know, there was, when I started, I would, you know, stream in a couple days a week, and I'd make a couple hundred bucks a month. And, you know, it's, even as like a feeling like, hey, it's a hobby, and I'm just immediate, like, I'm making money from this hobby. Like that, you know, it's not, there's not a lot of other hobbies where that exists. And especially because a lot of the times, the thing I always encourage people with Twitch is figure out something you're already doing. Like, don't figure out something new to do. Like, what are you already doing so that it's not this like massive time sink where you like, if you play video games, play guitar, you know, you paint, you draw, you fucking dance, like whatever you do, try and do it on there. And it can both, you know, be rewarding for that and figure out and teach you things about the thing you're doing and make you better at it or show you different avenues that you didn't know you could pursue with whatever you like doing.
Fair. Now, how do you get that audience though? Because there's a lot of Twitch streamers, you'll go on and there's like five people.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you gotta do it for five people for a little while. The thing I'd say is that the I don't know if it's a flaw, because I don't know how it would get fixed. Definitely the one kind of thing about Twitch is, yeah, you need to do work outside of Twitch. Like, you know, when you're actually streaming is not the time you're getting new viewers, is the way to think about it. Like, as you're streaming, that's not a time where you're getting new viewers. That's the time where you're doing something for the viewers you have. When you're not streaming, that's where you have to figure out a way, you know, whether you're putting clips on YouTube, you know, just on your social media, you know, or like, the great thing is, if you, you know, you have a band, so you have a platform, you know, write for a magazine, you have a platform, you have a store, you know, you sell whatever, your crafts, you know, you have a platform, you know, so it's not going to magically give you an audience. You know, you do have to kind of build an audience yourself, but once you do, Twitch doesn't charge, you know, you anything to do this. It doesn't, it takes money from the money you get, but there's no barrier to entry with it. There's, you know, you probably already have, you know, some kind of camera in your house. You probably already have some kind of microphone in your house to start with. Yep. And you probably have something that, you know, is like a computer of some kind. And really, that's all it takes. And there's no, you sign up, download a free piece of software that, you know, lets you stream, and then just click start, and that's it. You're streaming. So, you know, it's very free market.
Yeah. Oh.
It's very much it's a little bit unrestrained capitalism, free market, you know. But the benefit of that is that there's no barrier to entry. And really, there's no, because of that, there's like, it, like I said, that's why I always say like something you're already doing, because then, you know, you're playing video games. Okay. You're playing video games and you're making jokes and nobody's watching you. Well, you're just getting used to talking all the time, making jokes, feeling comfortable, you know, just kind of free form, letting thoughts out in the air. And then maybe, you know, you're working in an office and it helps you with your presentations that you do for how many washing machines I've sold this quarter, or whatever, whatever thing in your life that isn't fun that you're trying to pursue something fun for.
Cool. So I think we've got about 8 minutes left. So I'm going to let Aaliyah ask one of her questions.
So what came, I did some research, but I kind of missed this. What came first for you, the Twitch or Banger TV?
Banger TV. That came first. And, you know, that Banger TV, like I said, you know, that platform where you can just say, so on Banger TV, I was able to say like, hey, I'm starting a Twitch stream today. And
people
showed up. Yeah. I mean, Banger is a really great company for going like, yeah, I mean, we want you to succeed. We want our host to succeed. We don't want you to not succeed. We don't want you to not have things going on in your life. Yeah. Promote whatever you're doing. Cause if you're doing something cool and people like what you're doing, we're the person that has you here. It's, you know, it's just, it all, it's an ecosystem. It all feeds, you know, the cooler hosts we have, the cooler we are by extension. And then it makes the host cooler, which makes us cooler, which makes the host cooler. You know?
Well, that explains a few things. Cause I didn't realize they actually let you promote your other stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That's very cool. That's very, very cool. I'm going to get off into another topic. So I'm going to let Aaliyah continue with her questions because we only got eight minutes.
You can go off onto another topic if you want, Curtis.
What I was going to say is kind of like, okay, so how did you get, you didn't really go over how you got the job at Banger. Like, how do you go from being a comedian to being a Banger host?
I have a real easy ride of a life, just a real top down summer afternoon drive in the country of a life. I was doing stand-up comedy and the old producer, Lisa Lettersaire, dabbled a bit in comedy, cause she, used to do spoken word and found the spoken word scene a little too stuffy. And she just saw me doing comedy and was like, hey, do you like metal? Is it like a shtick? And I'm like, no, big metal fan. And she's like, hey, what do you want to come in as a guest on an episode of Lockhorns? And I came in and it was like everything really snowballed from there. Cause that's the thing, kind of, again, to tie, you know, to really kind of, I'm really trying to make it seem thematic and like I'm pushing the same, you know, I didn't realize that the comedy that I've been working on, and, you know, comedy is a really hard thing to kind of crack through, was giving me these skills I didn't realize I had. And I went on, you know, I'm not a journalist. I went on a show where it's normally like musicians and journalists and stuff. And I'm just doing things in a different way from the way everybody does it. Cause I'm approaching it as a comedian. I'm going like, yeah, I want to like talk about metal and inform people and know what I'm talking about. But like, if I have an option to make them laugh or I have an option to sound smart, I'm going to make them laugh. Like, I say everything wrong. I could not say those words wrong with very little effort, but I'm going to keep saying all these words wrong because I think that's funny and it makes people laugh. And I would rather people think I'm an idiot. They can't say any Dutch words than like, oh, he said that Dutch word properly. It's like, who gives a shit? So yeah, it was just like, it's that thing where that you don't realize, like, yeah, go on Twitch and stream you painting Warhammer miniatures. And then, you know, it never does anything, but, you know, it winds up, you know, something you learned on there gets you this job that you really like, completely unrelated to that, but you didn't realize you were working out that whole time, and the muscles you built from that like translate really well to this.
That's really, really interesting. Okay, so that answers that question. So Aaliyah's got a final question.
I got four questions, but I'm only going to ask one, and I'm going to ask.
Let's go. We can we can lightning round this. I can keep it concise.
All right. Why is it Death Doom, not Doom Death?
Oh, this is something I'm super passionate about. The way your mouth works. If you say Death Doom, if you say a TH sound and a D, to duh is a very natural way to move your mouth. The th leads into the duh. Mm-hmm. If you say an M to a duh sound, they're very unnatural things to have together. There's a reason language is constructed the way it does, is because usually it's a way to not have it feel awful in your mouth and just be ridiculous, right? These things languages were created organically. And if you say doom death, like try and say doom death quickly and try and say death doom quickly. The speed at which you can get that out, because it's meant to go together that way. The puzzle pieces work. You're jamming the wrong piece in the middle of a puzzle and going, the puzzle's done. And I'm looking at it going, that doesn't go there.
All right. Next, I'm probably going to feel attacked as a graphic designer, but go off about Drop Shadows and album art.
It's look, Drop Shadow can be used well. It can be used tastefully, but 90% of the time, what it looks like is you hired someone great, maybe a great graphic designer, maybe a great painter, maybe a great illustrator, to make a beautiful piece of artwork. And then you slapped a sticker on top of it with no thought. You slapped a sticker on top. And not only did you slap a sticker on top, you slapped a sticker on top of the cellophane. Then there's the album layer behind, and I can see a gap between the sticker that you slapped on there, and I can't look at your album art because this thing with this shadow is coming out at me, drawing my eye away from this artwork that you spent, you know, $5,000 on to look at your logo, which has been around for 15 years.
Yeah. Real quick, how was Metallica S&M affected you?
It was really the necessary transition I needed from a very tiny, awkward child to the large, awkward adult child you see before you. It's because when you're like, I played double bass in a competitive orchestra. I was in a school, I was in our orchestra. Our orchestra went to this thing called Kiwanis, and we competed every year, and we won every single fucking year.
Good job. And
so, you know, the Metallica S&M album, it was like a classical album, but then also like, oh yeah, wow, this cool new music. Because I was like, yeah, I was a kid when that came out. And it just really stuck together. And then as an adult, I realized how funny that album is. And again, you know, just that nice thing where it led into me being able to have a laugh about something.
All right, final question. Best comic strip.
Best comic strip? Ooh, that's actually, I mean, the there's one legitimate correct answer is Calvin and Hobbes is obviously the best comic strip because there's whatever you like in a comic strip, it can do, you know, whether you just want something stupid and funny, you know, whether you want great art when he's imagining things and he's on different worlds and stuff. And there's all these like heartfelt, honest moments in it. And there's just a lot of relatable stuff in it, and it is objectively the best comic strip. But I do also have a very warm spot in my heart for Garfield because, again, it's like just so frequently so stupid that I'm not quite laughing at the Garfield strip, but it spawns so many great things because there's this like weird nugget there, and I don't think it was ever created with the intention of being weird, but accidentally it is a supremely weird thing that you can look at through the lens of being very weird. And a lot of people have made some really great weird art from just looking at Garfield and being like, this is weird.
Yeah. Well, with that, Curtis, do you have anything to say?
I do not. We're good for an outro.
All right. I will wrap this up and say, until next time, everyone make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.